You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Minister of Finance Grant Robertson wrote a letter to Adrian Orr, the Reserve Bank Governor, seeking advice on solutions to our country's housing crisis. I speak to Peter Malcolm, spokesperson for Closing the Gap, the Income Equality Project, and begin by asking him to comment on the letter.
I guess the most important comment of the whole lot about that, Grant seems to be now recognising that they do need to do something about the housing crisis in New Zealand. And I think that's a really important step, because up until now, the messages coming from the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance are, you know, there's nothing we can do. Just leave it alone and let it sort itself out. A lot of people think that's entirely wrong. And so the fact that he's now taken the step to write to Adrian Orr, the Reserve Bank, saying, basically, can you help? Second thing is that there are multiple solutions to the problem, none of which by themselves will solve that problem. So it needs to be tackled on a whole range of fronts. And some of those include doing something about the tax system, which the government seems to have ruled themselves out of. I would hope the Reserve Bank might come back to the government and say, well, look, you know, here are the solutions, and some of those include things that you've said you're not going to. Those features, those factors about the tax system are certainly part of the range of solutions that need to be adopted to solve this housing crisis.
So currently the Reserve Bank intends on giving $28 billion towards retail banks for the purpose of low interest loans. However, there is sufficient concern about this money being fueled back into the housing market. Where do those concerns come from?
One of the best investments right now is in real estate. And that if you throw money at the problem like that, all you're going to do is to exacerbate that problem. Because if you give more people more money, what are they going to do with it? They're going to go and buy houses because that's the best investment they can make. Unless they put real constraints on the way in which the banks could use that money. And the banks are not in it for the health of society. They're in it to make money. They can create a real desire on the part of investors to borrow money to put it into houses. They're not going to put constraints on the way in which that money can be loaned. I'm not sure if the government were prepared to go to that extent of saying, yes, we're going to free up all this money, but you're not allowed to use it to buy houses. Well, if that was done by itself, that, in my view, would be crazy. But if they then went ahead and said, we're going to change the tax structure so that if you spend all this money to buy houses, we're going to make sure we're going to claw back a significant amount of the profit that you make through a change in the tax system. Now, if they were prepared to do that, then and keep the company tax rate and the dividend, well, that's another story. But if they made it clear that the best way to invest your money was to put it into the share market, to put it into businesses rather than housing, and that's where the tax structure comes in, because you could use the tax structure to make it much more desirable for people to use their money to invest in productive businesses rather than just building more houses, not even building more houses, but firing up the housing market.
Yeah, basically, when it comes to the housing crisis in particular, we need to be targeting more like the underlying issues as opposed to just making money available.
Yeah, absolutely. And importantly, Adrian Orr has said a number of times, within the Reserve Bank Act, the bank has done all it can, and it is trying to stimulate in the economy in general by freeing up more money, and secondly, trying to make sure inflation is kept under control. And so, in effect, they are saying to the government, the solution to this problem, the housing crisis, is actually in your hands. It's not in ours.
Yes, I was looking through the solutions that were listed. One thing I just wanted to ask you about was ghost houses around the country. I mean, Auckland alone has close to 40,000 ghost houses.
Yeah.
And there seems to just be a huge disconnect in the homes we have available and what people can afford when it comes both to renting and buying. How can we begin to address bridging this gap? Because, I mean, especially in big cities like Auckland, we're running out of land to just keep building and building and building. And, you know, there are 40,000 ghost houses in the city and 18,000 people who are currently top priority on the waitlist for public housing.
Mm-hmm.
So there just seems to be quite a bit of a disconnect there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I come back to my earlier statement, and that is to solve the problem of ghost houses is not within the purview of the Reserve Bank. It's actually in the hands of the government. Now, you know, you could change the tax system very clearly there to make it undesirable or uneconomic for people to maintain ghost houses. Now, why do people have ghost houses? And the answer is very clearly that they're leaving those houses in a good condition. They don't want them rented out. They don't want to do anything which is likely to decrease the value of those houses.
So that's kind of a space for things like the capital gains tax and the wealth
absolutely.
Tax to come into play.
Absolutely. And or you could go even further than that, and you could bring in some sort of, you know, wealth tax, asset tax, right out of left field, for example. You could say, you could increase the rates. You could make a differential rate system whereby, you know, if the house is occupied, you get a rebate on some of your rates. And if the house is empty, then you don't get that rebate. Now, I'm not sure that that's a possibility, but that's an example of out of left field thinking that needs to happen over these sorts of things.
Would you be able to comment on the Labour Party's promise to build enough homes to accommodate for those 18,000 people who are a top priority on the waitlist for public housing? Because there are over 20,000 people on that waitlist. But
yes, yeah, that's true.
But 18,000 have been identified as being the most in need.
Yeah, okay. Yes, I would comment. First of all, I think they do have a problem at the moment. And even though they're putting money into building houses and they've promised, I forget the figure, some thousands every year, there is a problem with fronting up on all of that because of the lack of numbers of builders and so on and so forth. But I don't think they've pushed the boundaries on that. So secondly, that even though they've made promises and they say that we're doing as good as we can, I don't think they are. I think they could do much better than they did.
Looking at what you guys have sent out, there is this whole sort of list of solutions. Where would you like to see the starting point? Because obviously the longer we leave this, the wider the disparity gets, the worse the problem gets. So where would be a sort of sensible starting point for the government?
We need to bring everything onto the table, including changes to the tax structure. That would be the major step for the government to say, this is a serious problem in our country. We need to look at it very seriously. And to do that, we've got to make sure that all possible solutions are now on the table. The second thing, of course, once they had done that, they would get together a range of people, including the Reserve Bank, who would say, right now, here's a clean sheet of paper. Tell us what we should do. Because this is a matter of taking the country with you. And it's a matter of going through that whole process of consultation. But make sure that it's under pressure to happen quickly. Because we don't want something which is going to go on for another 5 years before we have solutions. But having cleared the table, having, you know, got everything back on the table, then you need to quickly have a public discussion as to what should happen. And I think if you did that, certainly when of the people that I talk to, most of the issues that I've raised, they're not new at all. If the government had the guts to come out and say, right, we're not taking anything off the table at all here. We want an open discussion as to what would happen. I think they might be surprised at the support that they got.
At the public's response to
absolutely, that. The public's response. And even if they didn't, at least they went through that process and providing the media.
At least they actually, at least it will be a step towards actually engaging with what the people of this country want, and not just sort of going by the assumption that there are a few people who are going to cause a bit of a stir if something like this got introduced.
Absolutely.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.